are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Wow. How many of you are in love with your wife? How many of you are in love with your husband? How many of you are happy to be married? How many of you want to get married? Shake the hand of two or three people. Tell them, you're looking beautiful. You're looking fantastic. Hallelujah. So, welcome to everybody here this morning. We're so glad you are here. The many thousands there in Bloemfontein, we welcome you this morning. Johannesburg, we welcome you. East Rand, Kimberley, Kroonstad, Nelspruit, Maputo, radio stations, television audience, and then, of course, those in correctional facilities this morning in Pretoria, Central, Grootvlei, Polsmore, Kimberley, George, and then our live stream viewers, and, of course, everybody that's here for the very, very first time. So we're talking about three building blocks to build your marriage on: sex, communication, and money. If these things are in place, then possibly you are having a great, great marriage. Last week we spoke about the sexual union between a husband and a wife. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed is undefiled. That means the marriage bed is highly esteemed. It's a gift that God gave for husbands and wives. This morning we are going to focus on communication, the basis or the foundation of any relationship. The chances are, if you are having good communication in your marriage, you are having a great marriage. But if communication is lacking, then possibly one of you two are very frustrated and maybe resentment is breeding. So let's talk about communication. Communication, the art of sharing information so the other person understands, verbally or with your body language. Let's talk about the power of words in a relationship this morning. In James chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or perfect woman. Amen. Able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue, a little member that boasts great things. So the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, of creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt and fresh water. Ephesians 4 verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Very often in marriages, the last thing we are careful about is the words that we say to one another. And those very words have the power to make or break a relationship, to build up the relationship or to break down the relationship. The words that come out of your mouth has the power to heal or to hurt, has the power to bless or to curse. So we have to be very selective in our words that we speak. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Think for a moment, how do you communicate to one another? If communication is the basis of a relationship, the foundation of a relationship, what is it that comes out of your mouth when you talk about your partner or speak to your partner? Oftentimes people say hurtful things and then they say, well, I never meant that. A husband will say, I don't love you the way I loved you. Her wife will say, if it wasn't for the children, I would not be married to you any longer. Realize that there is power in your mouth. Every time you open your mouth, you are building your marriage or you are breaking your marriage down. Communication. The foundation of your relationship. Good communication, you will have a great relationship. When Narita and I got married 28 years ago, praise God, celebrating on the 5th of December, somebody shout hallelujah, amen. Married to the same girl, still in love, still chase after her. I said to her, my angel, we're going to talk about everything. We're not going to allow issues to pile up. We're going to talk about our likes and our dislikes, our wants and our not wants, what we feel comfortable with and what we don't feel comfortable with. And I do believe it's the husband's responsibility to create open communication in the relationship, because many men are not great talkers. They are great at, say what? Or white noise. I mean, people think men can't multitask. Factually, men can multitask. But men have mastered the art to make out as if they can only do one thing at a time. So they watch television, and then mama's talking to them, and they make like they're not hearing mama. But they hear exactly what you say. Oops. Open communication. Getting rid of all the negative communication in the home. Getting rid of yelling at one another, threatening one another, manipulating one another. Open and fair communication. Open and honest communication. The basis of a relationship. Remember, men, for women, caring and communication is number one and number two in a marriage relationship. For men, sex is number one. You want a good intimate relationship with your wife, you're going to have to learn to be a good communicator. Women are great talkers, so we need to become great listeners. Somebody say, Ena. Because marriage doesn't just happen. We need to understand the opposite sex. We need to understand the way that our wives function. What is their need? Greatest need for a woman is to feel loved and cared for. The second thing is communication, and they go hand in hand. They want to talk. You want to kiss. They want to talk. They want to talk before they kiss. Is that right, girls? So husbands and wives must be careful not to feed one another a steady diet of put-downs. Do you and your spouse feed each other a steady diet of put-downs? If you do, your marriage could be headed for the divorce court. When psychologists Cliff Notarius and Howard Markman studied newlyweds over the first decade of marriage, they discovered that couples who stayed together uttered 5 or fewer put-downs in every 100 comments to each other. Well, some people talk 3 words a day to one another, and one of them is a negative word. We have to get the negativity out of our mouths and understand that we build and bless with our mouths. Amen. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. We don't always accuse or go back to the past and remind somebody of their mistakes. We put the past behind us. It says, but couples who inflicted twice as many verbal wounds, 10 or more, put downs out of every 100 comments later split up. Watch what you say. Your words are powerful. Your words will bless your marriage or destroy your marriage. So women and men are different. We saw from the little clip how women communicate more emotionally and men want to communicate factually. Men want the facts. Women want to feel what their husbands mean when they speak. A Harvard study of several 100 preschoolers discovered an interesting phenomenon. Listen, as they taped the children's playground conversation, they realized that all the sounds coming from girls' mouths were recognizable words. However, only 60% of the sounds coming from little boys were recognizable. The other 40% were yells and sound effects, like vroom, This difference persists into adulthood. I mean, you can play a whole round of golf with somebody and all you hear is, great shot. And if you play a bad shot, nobody says anything because we're too polite. Amen? But every now and again, there's somebody that tries to correct you and be your teacher when you play with them golf. Not the time to teach your brother. Amen. So men will play 18 holes, 4.5 hours, and just say, great drive. Next hole, great shot. And after 4.5 hours, they had a great time together. I wonder what would happen if women play golf together. Communication experts say that the average woman speaks over 25,000 words a day, while the average man speaks a little over 10,000. What does this mean in a marriage relationship? On average, a wife will say she needs to spend 45 minutes to an hour each day in meaningful conversation with her husband. Wow. What does the average husband say sitting next to her? Is enough time for a meaningful conversation? 15 to 20 minutes once a week. And the brothers say? That doesn't mean you're right. Because your need for intimacy, she has to consider that and create the environment for intimacy. You now have to love her as Christ loves the church. Remember what the Bible says, his words evoke her beauty. Everything he says and does is designed to bring out the best in her. So when you don't communicate with your wife the way she needs you to communicate with her, her spirit will be deflated. Dan word hy mooi roosbos, 'n kakiebos. Maltz and Borker summarize a body of research on how men and women communicate differently. They review support the stereotype that within all male groups, males are more likely to interrupt one another. You try and talk to your husband, he answers you while you're still talking, right? Men would command one another, use threats, show authority, refuse to comply, interrupt, tell jokes, trump other people's stories. Moreover, males respond to other people's problems by giving advice, by acting as problem solvers or experts. In contrast with all female groups, females are more likely to share experiences, offer reassurances. They also are more likely to express agreement with others, pause to give others a chance to speak. Amen. That's an important thing. If you want any communication, you can't both be talking. Amen. Come here, Pastor JJ, you like to talk, so you'll help me. He's a high eye. He likes to take, grab that. We all played this game when we were kids, right? Okay, remember that? With fish gut, we use this just for illustration, how we played this, okay? Even in the day of the telephone, which young people know nothing about, this was the telephone, and you would take a long line, like 100 meters, and you would go that side of the house, and the other person would sit this side of the house, and you would communicate. Now, what did not work, put it to your mouth, is if both people talk at the same time. For communication to take place, one should be talking, and one should be listening. See, it's not the word. Huh? Don't shout at me. Say something. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Amen, Pastor. Huh? Communication is the ability to share information so the other person understands, verbally and non-verbally. So we'll talk about 7 principles now of effective communication in marriage, but in any scenario, in a business scenario, how to communicate effectively. Because every relationship is built upon communication. Communication consists of words, listening, and understanding. What is the other person trying to communicate in that relationship? Because oftentimes we just shut people out. Thank you. When people say what we don't like, we just shut them out, or we go on white noise. You're not going to build a great marriage relationship if you always go on white noise, if you tune out to another station. Love demands that we love one another the way the other person needs to be loved. And again, God says to the husband, love your wife as Christ loves the church. You create the platform of communication in the home. It's your responsibility. Again, most men were never taught to be good communicators. That's why we encourage young people in the process of courtship, don't go smooch. Develop the ability to communicate, because everything in your relationship stands or falls upon honest and open communication. In other words, you must be able to talk about everything. Your marriage must be a safe environment where you can communicate freely, honestly, and openly, according to God's word. So you have to love your wife the way she needs to be loved. What does that mean? Time. She needs time. When you give her quality time and you listen to her, and it's a difficult thing. I'm still learning after 28 years to listen. Amen, because there's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is blah, 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 sound. Listening is, what is she saying? Angelique used to grab my face when she was a little 2-3-year-old, and she spoke to me. You know, Narita can talk a lot, Angelique can talk a lot, Chanel can talk a lot. David doesn't talk as much as them, and I would be, and I talk a lot as well, okay. So, amen. So, as a typical male, they would talk to me, and then I would talk, not listen. So Angelique picked up on it at an early age, and she would grab my face in her two little hands and put her face right here in front of me and say, Daddy, I'm talking to you. She could see I was hearing, but not listening. And I do think, I'm not a wife, but I do think a lot of women feel that frustration. They talk, but the husbands are not listening. Their need for communication, I'm going to say again, is as much as your need for physical intimacy. But if the communication is not right in the house, the emotional intimacy from the wife will be lacking. So as men, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, likewise, dwell with your wife with understanding, giving honor to her. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving. What does she need in the relationship? How must you change to meet the need that she has in the relationship? Not getting. His love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. So when we communicate our wives, we do not communicate in a harsh and domineering way. We don't criticize our wives, and we don't compare them. We don't compare their cooking to our mother's cooking. Somebody say amen. I mean, that was a challenge for me the first year. Narita, English, colonial. I'm Afrikaans, Boerekos, married to my wife that serves me yellow water, green water, white water. Everything tasted like water. It's healthy. I eat like that now. I'm converted after 28 years. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So don't shut her out. You are the head. You are the leader. You create the platform to communicate in that relationship. So learn to communicate about everything. Communicate your expectations. Many wives, as we counsel them, they say, I don't know what's in my husband's heart. Share your heart with your wife, your vision. Share the day that you had with your wife. Share your levels of satisfaction and dissatisfaction. Share your wants. Share your needs. Communicate about your day. I mean, it doesn't take a lot. You ask a lady one question, how was your day? And she'll tell you from the morning she woke up. So that's 20 minutes gone. I'm playing, okay? It's not difficult. Just get the platform. Communicate and listen. Communicate your thoughts. Communicate your appreciation or the lack of appreciation of certain things. Communicate the rules of communication in your relationship. When are we going to talk? How are we going to talk? What are no-nos in communication? Because many people use what I call ugly or dirty tactics in communication. the one person gets upset, and while the other person tries to communicate, the one runs out of the room. How can you communicate when the other person is not there? So when you speak, what you want to say, then stay and wait for the other person to reply. But it doesn't help that you throw a tantrum and you stomp your feet out there and say, you are always late and you never blah, 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 blah. You can't communicate like that. Amen. So what are the rules of communication? Because in marriage, people get frustrated. People get angry. People get mad. Don't open your mouth when you're angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Don't say what you regret later on. Bite your tongue. Amen. Because we cannot retract the words that we speak. Our words heal or hurt people, harm or help people. Our words build up or break down. We can't throw a tantrum for 2 hours and then the next morning kiss and make up and say, I never meant what I said last night. Honey, you did. It came out under pressure. When the pressure is on, the real thing comes out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Then there's a chocha somewhere. If you squeeze a lemon, lemon juice comes out. So when the pressure is on and the mouth opens and those words come flying out, that's what's in the heart. That means we need to talk. We need to resolve the anger, the resentment, the frustration, because under pressure, we see what's on the inside. That's why I suggest, talk about everything. Make time to communicate every week. If it's not possible, every day, talk. Don't allow the issues to pile up in a relationship. Talk. Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. You cannot go climb in bed and turn your back on your husband because you're mad with him, or turn your back on your wife. The Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Make it a habit every night before you close your eyes to sleep that you kiss one another and you tell one another, I love you. Come on, say a big amen. That's good preaching this morning. Hallelujah. But don't turn your back on one another and then you start avoiding certain things and then you start sleeping in the spare bedroom and then you start sleeping over at your parents' house again. That's not pleasing to God. You are a covenant relationship. You need to communicate with one another and be sensitive in your communication. The golden rule applies, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So think before you communicate. You know, God's presence is all over this place. They're in Bloemfontein, Johannesburg, in prison this morning. There is no substitute for the presence of God. I lived on the other side. I lived in the world. Came to Jesus as a young person, but I lived long enough in the world to know that the world has nothing that will satisfy the longing of your heart. Not another relationship, not another drink, not more money. David says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. There's a longing in your heart, you may not know it today, for the presence of God. That is why God sent His Son 2,000 years ago to die for you and me. That we may not live with a vacuum in our hearts. We may not live lost in this world, but we can have peace. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I speak these things that you may have peace in me. You're standing here today, you say, Pastor, my life is in turmoil. I'm lost. I don't have a relationship with God. If I die today, I don't even think I'll go to heaven. I read my Bible, I go to church, but if I die today, I don't know where I would spend eternity. Then this morning you're in the right place. The presence of God is all over this place. God is knocking at your heart this morning. They're in Bloemfontein. Forget the people around you. You stand in this place today, you say, I don't know Jesus. If I died, I don't think I'll go to heaven. Maybe you served God at one time, but you've grown cold. The presence of God is drawing you, attracting you to Him this morning. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving in this place. There's a stirring in your heart this morning. You know that your life is not right with God. But as we were worshiping the Lord this morning, something is happening there in Bloemfontein, Johannesburg, East Rand. And you know you need to get right with God. God loves you so much. He's here this morning, I believe, to give you a new beginning. You're standing in this place today. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need a new beginning. I need to get right with God. I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ today, or I need to come back to my Father's house. I want to get right with God this morning. Then I want to pray for you before we go any further in this service. I want you to pray this prayer right now. Yeah, in Pretoria and in Bloemfontein, do exactly the same. In Johannesburg, do the same. Everyone pray this prayer right now. It's in the Bible. Say, Lord Jesus. Everybody pray it, because you have to say it. Confess. Invite Jesus into your heart. Pray this prayer right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart right now. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for my sin. I believe with all my heart you are the Christ. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today I give myself to you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes me white as snow. Thank you for a new beginning. I am forgiven. I'm a child of God forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Do you believe it this morning? Say a good amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.